This episode of The Emma Gunn Show is brought to you in collaboration with Philips. Hello, hi, and welcome to a beauty special episode of The Emma Gunn Show and the series Natters That Matter with Philips. Natters That Matter is a series that opens up honest and transparent discussions around body and facial hair, how we view it, how it makes us feel, and how it impacts the way in which we present ourselves to the world to inspire true confidence both inside and out. Hair removal doesn't look the same for everyone, and in this series we're championing individual choice, individuality and self-expression. The Philips Lumea has been designed for long-term hair removal, and because Philips believe that hair removal is a choice, they're keen to discuss the topic in a way that every woman can relate to and identify with. So in this series, I'll be speaking to Hernam Kaur, a motivational speaker and social activist, the psychotherapist and coach Lee Pycroft, dermatologist Dr. Sharon Wong, and the writer and columnist Rosie Green. And I'm especially delighted to open up the floor for conversations like this because I'm someone who has managed body and facial hair for as long as I can remember. A hormone imbalance in my teens meant I was shaving, waxing, plucking, and threading from a very young age because I didn't want noticeable hair on my face or body. It's an extremely repetitive pursuit because it's something that has to be constantly managed. But if you're a long-time listener or you follow me on Instagram, you'll know the game very much changed for me when I started using the Philips Lumea and was able, for the first time, not just to manage my unwanted hair, but also reduce it in the long term. I've already said that I started trying all the ways that someone can remove their hair from a very early age, and trust me, when you've got over 30 years of hair removal under your belt, you realise how so many of them are messy, uncomfortable, ineffective, and inconvenient. It is a veritable comedy of hair removal errors. This is why I've asked author and columnist and my mate, Rosie Green, to join me in a no-holds-barred chat about the embarrassing stories we both have from our hair removal attempts. We also opened the floor to you, my most excellent listeners, and we share some of the mishaps you've had in pursuit of hair-free body parts. Spoiler alert, we were nearly in tears laughing over some of them. Now, a teensy bit of housekeeping on this particular episode. The internet was not working with us during this conversation with Rosie, so you will be able to hear some echo. It was impossible to remove it in post-production, but I hope it isn't too distracting. But just to let you know, it is there, but I hope it doesn't take away from the brilliant insights that Rosie shares in this conversation. So are you ready? The links to the Philips Lumea, the rest of the Natters That Matter series, and where you can find Rosie on social media will be in the show notes. But let's get to it. Rosie Green, welcome to the podcast and this Natters That Matters series. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
You look very glowing and radiant, I have to say.
Well, I've been on telly this morning, so I've got an awful lot of makeup on. And I believe I've got some kind of filter on my Zoom call, which I don't know how I've done, but I wish I could have it in real life, quite frankly.
It is pretty spectacular. I can't take my eyes off you. But we are chatting because you and I have been colleagues for a long time, colleagues in the beauty industry as beauty editors, beauty writers, working on magazines. And so you and I have had long histories of basically being at the forefront, being the people who hear first about technology, innovation, products, developments, all of that sort of stuff. And I don't know about you, but anything that tackles hair, body hair, facial hair, is something that makes my little beauty writer antenna just go woo, woo, woo. Are you the same?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've got a long and checkered history with body hair removal. So I'm very grateful for any new devices. As a sort of pale, hairy person, I consider myself very interested.
Well, that's actually a very good point because you're pale, but you are dark haired. So you're actually an excellent candidate for this kind of intense pulse light treatment.
Excellent. I mean, it's like there are other things I'd really rather be better at, but this is like being hairy, I'm quite good at.
Okay, so let's talk about, first of all, because you and I have both used the Lumea and we're both big fans of the technology. And I don't know about you, but I think one of the reasons why I am such a big fan of it is because it's the kind of technology that we probably heard about 20 years ago. Not that we're that old, although we are.
No, of course not.
Maybe even more. And we heard about it because it was in clinic, and it was something that you, if you wanted to benefit from it, you had to go in clinic, you had to have a professional administer it. So the idea that you can now have that same technology, which has been made suitable and safe for a device that you can hold in your hand whilst you're watching the TV, just blows my mind.
It's amazing. And I remember actually when it first came out, which was probably as long ago as you said, I remember telling my cousin, who's a doctor, about it, and she was absolutely horrified. She was like, do not mess around with that kind of thing. She was like, you know, she was really scared about it, and she was really scared on my behalf. And so, yeah, you're right. The idea that you can do it at home and that it's effective. And, you know, let's face it, actually, hair, you know, I've got a teenage daughter and it preoccupies quite a lot of her time, you know. It's actually something that's quite distressing to women sometimes. And then obviously it's a bit annoying sometimes. And it's a bit limiting. Whether it should be or not is about the whole sort of moral question. But actually, if you know, someone invites you around to go swimming, or you're on the beach and you can't just strip everything off and go because you think, oh my God, I've got to, you know, immac myself first or whatever, then, you know, it takes time, you know, and actually this way you're just ready to go at all times.
Well, exactly. And I think that's the thing. I think this has really made me investigate and think back about all those teen years of when leg hair would come through and I wasn't allowed to shave my legs for a long time.
You know what? So, I remember you saying that before. What, because as in your parents thought it was like it was too early for you to do that. It was
absolutely
sort of you in some way.
Yeah. So I obviously wore A-line school skirts and had socks, and it was the summer. So it was very obvious that I had leg hair, and people would say stuff and I'd be really embarrassed. So immediately I think I'm very much of that way of thinking, because I think what Philips do really nicely is they say it's a choice. You don't have to remove your body hair, but if you want to remove your hair, if you want to create a reduction in your hair, this is the way to do it. But I very much come from that thinking of, I don't enjoy having body hair, so I want to tackle it in a way where it's not only treated, but I then, every subsequent treatment means I'm treating less. Rather than that thing of like the painting of the fourth bridge, where you do it once and then the next time you do it, you're dealing with exactly the same situation all over again.
It's thankless, isn't it? And then my daughter, you know, she's like just getting into, you know, getting into the whole thing. And honestly, it's like, I can't wait for her to be able to do this, because I feel it is, you know, it's really liberating.
Actually, you said something there, which is like Hoover and vacuum. So a friend of mine that I used to live with, her dad worked for, let me get this right, a brand that wasn't Hoover. But essentially Hoover has become the sort of, it's a brand name, but it's how we describe vacuuming, the act of vacuuming. And I think it's really interesting what you said there about laser, because it's kind of like the name it's been dubbed, because it was a really sort of sexy way of describing what actually went on. But it's actually intense pulse light.
Yes, it is. It's different, isn't it? And yet we all call it lasering. Are you going to have your bikini line laser, don't we? I know. Yeah. Terrible. Good point, Emma Guns.
But it's light. It's light. So just if anyone's listening to this and they're thinking that you're going to get a Lumea home and it's going to be like a laser gun, that's not what it's going to be like. It's intense pulse light, and it's all, there are lots of things in place to make sure that it is incredibly safe. So what do you remember your first attempt at managing any kind of hair, leg, body, face, whatever it might have been? And do you remember those sort of comedy of errors?
I do. I remember, much like you. So I grew up with my mum, not my mum, my dad. And my mum's a big hippie. And so she like rocked her body hair. She had hairy underarms. She had hairy legs. She had hairy. And I remember getting teased at school for my mum being hairy. So she was very against, you know, she was a big feminist. She was very, you know, she thought it was a bit ridiculous removing your body hair. But, you know, I always wanted to, just like you. I always wanted smooth, lovely skin, you know, in that sense.
Smooth like a dolphin, Rosie. Smooth like a dolphin.
Exactly, like a dolphin. And so I remember she allowed me to go and buy sort of hair removal cream, which I did, spent all my pocket money on that. But I didn't realise that you had to sort of slather it on. So, you know, it was like a thick cream. I thought you rubbed it in like a vanishing cream.
Oh gosh.
I rubbed it in, nothing happened. I just really stank, right? So that was like, because like, if no one tells you, if no one helps you, then you just don't know what you're doing. And then I moved into the buff puffing. Do you remember that? Not a buff puff, whatever it is, it's like sandpaper.
Yeah, it's very low grade sandpaper. Essentially, just like the friction just breaks the hair.
I
and exfoliates you like a wooden, like, varnish polished table.
And it smelled of matches, I remember. Do you remember that?
Oh no, it probably was the stuff that are on matchbooks.
Yes, exactly.
The flint.
What about you? What was your first? What was your first thing?
So first thing, I think I probably used one of those removal creams, but it was the first few times I tried to do anything with my body hair. It was locked in the loo. I can remember it so clearly.
Oh.
Locked in the loo so I wouldn't get found out.
Yeah.
In a very small space. Of trying to, with a little, like the saucepan, not, I say a saucepan, but you know, like those, we had these little saucepans with faces on that when we were kids.
Oh, yes, like from the toy cooker.
Yeah, no, but they were for the bath. And so I would fill that with water so I could rinse the razor. And then, but I mean, I cut myself so many times and obviously I couldn't, and I was probably using I was probably just going into the cupboard and getting a razor that my dad used. And so,
no, yeah, he probably couldn't shave his face. But the cuts that you give yourself are horrendous, aren't they? And I don't know about you, but I never use like shaving cream, I just use the shampoo or something.
Yeah,
yep. No, horrendous.
Or I'd do it and then my legs would really sting. So I think, oh, I'll put some body lotion on that. And then you'd be like, you'd scream. Yeah. It would be so raw.
Oh God, I know. So you, I think that is such the ultimate kind of problem in terms of children and grown-ups and sort of introducing them, because both of us were sort of made to feel, ironically, made to feel it was shameful to remove our hair, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, Phillips have got that right. It's a choice. I mean, you know, and actually, I don't want my girl to feel like we did. I want her to feel empowered. I certainly don't want her to feel that she has to, but I also don't want her to feel that she has to lock herself in a room and do it and like make and cut herself to shreds in the process.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that stands out for me is just like I was saying earlier, is that you do it once and you think, oh, you sort of mop your brow. That was a lot of work. And then next thing you know, you 3 weeks have passed and you've got to do it all again. But then I started delegating, and we can get into some funny stories here. But
delegating? Then, who are you delegating it to?
Well, waxing therapist.
Oh, I did.
My neighbour.
I thought you had like a sort of Dobby from Harry Potter coming round. I've done it to my house elf. They have to do it.
I've got a waxing elf. Have you not had one? No. So I would start getting waxes, but again, it's just that same thing. If you're on the rigmarole, and like, and exactly as you say, like people's invitations to come and, I don't know, go on holiday or have a pool day or whatever, they do not work around your waxing cycle.
They do not work around. And also, I mean, God, I've had some terrible waxing experiences. I've had some great waxing experiences, but well, when I say great, you know what I mean. But I mean, I went on one, I went before, so I don't know why people listening should know this, but I had a reason, like my marriage broke up like about 3 years ago. And then, so like a couple of years ago, I sort of thought, I was seeing this guy and I was like, okay, I better get myself, you know, sorted in that downstairs area. And I booked into the local salon for a wax. But it transpires the waxing lady was away, so the other beautician went, oh, okay, well, I'll have a go. Oh my God. I mean, I had welts, I was burnt. She got like, honestly, I was there for 2 hours. I was sweating. She was sweating. I could see she was sweating. And in the end, I had to go home, have a bath and soak it off, some of it, because it was just horrendous. I mean, whereas I did go somewhere deeply professional and they did it. They did like there were only two pieces of wax going on for that.
Yeah. When you find someone who does it properly, you suddenly realize I had an sort of an emergency, you know, that thing where you think, I've just got to get it done today, and you book in. And whoever did it, similar situation, either hadn't used that wax before or wasn't the usual wax. It was like, I'll do it. And used this new particular type of wax, but just couldn't get it off. And in the end, I had to come home and sort of yank my pants off because everything was stuck. And then I had to use an artist knife to cut out like the globules of wax.
Imagine if you just slipped in that scenario. You'd have had to go to hospital and say, I punctured my punani with an artist knife.
Do you know what? I would have just leaned really hard into scientific and anatomical vocabulary. Excuse me, sir, I have injured my... let's not go into it. But actually, one of the things we were going to talk about, because the Philips Lumea obviously makes it so easy to tackle body hair and facial hair. I must admit, my facial hair is a thing I use it on the most, but it's this IPL technology that gently puts the hair to sleep, so it prevents this regrowth from the root. And one of the things, because we have both used it and found it so easy, we put a little call to action out to our followers to say, what have you had any disasters? Because the thing is that all these disasters mount to one thing, right? That we all want to manage our hair, the people who've had these disasters, but we just haven't found the right way yet. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this episode is because I think if I've tried everything and you've tried everything in your career, this is the thing that I have most faith in to be able to get me to where I want to be. So what did you have from somebody?
Well, I had one lady who said that she basically did her whole downstairs area, and actually we shouldn't be using euphemisms, should we? What should we call it? Her bikini line and her, well, I'm guessing she took everything off, and she did it with some feet. Oh, sorry.
She did it with some hair removal cream.
She did it with some hair removal cream, and then she said it absolutely stung horrifically. Then somebody else was telling me that, and this is a tale that I've done actually, that they got themselves a fake tan, and they had the wax in the wrong order. So they had the fake tan and then the wax, which I have also done. And then basically you go on holiday looking like you've got a kind of ring of white around your nether regions. It's not a very good look. It looks like you know that when you're little you're told that if you wee in the swimming pool it's going to go like purple around you. You ever heard that, or was that just a Birmingham thing?
No, I definitely heard that.
Yeah, well, this was like if you do a wee or something, you're gonna have like a white patch all around. That's what it felt like, you were kind of just walking around with a big white patch on. So those are my two stories.
Well, I had quite a few, so one poor woman said she was having her upper lip waxed before a wedding and got a burn.
That she then couldn't disguise. I've heard that before, and that happened to my friend before a date. I mean, how do you explain that?
No, just not the one. A couple of people have said they've lost their upper, basically like lost the top half of their top lip. Now, this is a good one because this talks about the terminology. So the first time this woman went to go and have a Hollywood, she was hyperventilating so much during it that the therapist kept having to ask if she was okay. Now, this brings me on to another funny story about this. Did you ever use to, because, okay, so you've got Brazilians, you've got Hollywoods, you've got the French wax, which are all varying degrees of how much hair is taken off.
And yeah, French is old school, right? French is like triangle up on your undercarriage.
French, I think, is just the edges. And then Brazilian is most of everything, and also the bum.
And the bum. But you still keep your landing strip?
Yes, I think it might be a triangle shape. There's a landing strip. I'm not sure. I think it varies. Well, you can go and say, like a Brazilian, but I'd like a little bit of flair, or I'd like it to be. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But Hollywood is where everything goes. And that's not just... That's everything. So front and back. And I once had to call, well, no, I didn't have to, but I called to book an appointment, and it was just before work. And as I was on the phone to them, lots of people started coming in, and they were like, and what kind of wax do you want? And I said, I'd like to go to California.
Oh, I love that. But did you go to California all the time? Have you always done California?
Ever since I started, well, that's what I'm working towards with the Lumea in my own whatever. But yeah, as soon as I once read an article that Gwyneth Paltrow had a Hollywood and then wrote a letter to the therapist saying, you changed my life. And so I thought, I want a piece of Gwyneth's action. This is pre-Goop. But, you know, I was like, I want some of that. Somebody else.
That's quite hard to maintain, lady. Well done.
Somebody has messaged in saying that they did their own wax, a Brazilian wax, and managed to tear the labia. Brings water to, literally makes me want to cry. And then what else did we have? Oh yeah, this one just made me howl with laughter. This woman said that she accidentally shaved off one eyebrow by mistake. So ended up having to shave off the other one so it didn't look so ridiculous.
Oh my God, can you imagine getting to that stage? That is unbelievably horrendous. And how would they grow back?
Just not very well. Also, lots of therapists, and actually, I know that there are lots of people in the beauty industry who listen to this show, so I'm so sorry, but so many people saying that they accidentally kicked their therapist during a treatment.
Yeah. I'm sure people have been bitten. I'm sure they've been like, you know, I remember going to the J Sisters, like a million, you know, probably the Gwyneth Paltrow era. It was like, I mean, this is a long time ago, showing my age again. I had an assistant at the time, Sarah John Ross, do you remember her? She's brilliant, and she booked us into the J-Sisters. Now, Sarah's a lovely little blonde thing, right? I'm like super hairy, so we go into the J-Sisters in New York, which is like, and this was when it was all quite revolutionary, and Sarah is in like the next cubicle to me. It was like a sort of labor ward, and there's like screaming and shouting and people crying. And anyway, Sarah is like, I can hear her chat and she's totally fine, and then she's done. Oh no, not me. I'm still in there for like 3 more hours. And then I'm looking at myself and thinking, I'm quite a lot wider than I was before. Like, I feel like
wider.
I feel like, you know, you need a bit of a strip to like, you know, stop the width. That's my feeling. Like, I feel like it makes you look like a wider person if you haven't got a little, you know. That's my philosophy anyway.
Something to draw the eye.
Exactly. You've got it, Emma.
Are you basically telling me that having a landing strip is like wearing black? It's slimming.
Exactly. When you think about like a black swimsuit with the stripes down the side, I feel like
this one actually got DM'd to me because she said, obviously this has to be anonymous, but I tried an at-home bikini wax while the boyfriend was at work. I warmed the little pot, spread it on, waited for it to cool and harden. Then I tried ripping it off, but I could not get it off. It was so painful and completely stuck. I don't know whether I just didn't have a good angle doing it myself or what I did wrong, but whatever the reason, I had to sit about in no underwear all afternoon waiting for my boyfriend to come home to the horror show to help me extricate my flaps from their hardened wax prison. He found it hilarious, but it took us 45 minutes to tear me free.
God, I hope she could pee. Could you imagine? It's like you just sealed everything shut. Oh my God. Imagine if you did that to your bum cheeks. You'd be like fully, you'd just implode.
I couldn't even bear it. Okay, so there are plenty of horror stories, which brings us really neatly, I think, to the fact that we try all of these things, but you and I have both used the Umea. I know many people who have, and I've said, be really honest. Have you had any kind of horror story? Have you had any kind of mishap? And that's one of the things about this. Yes, you've got this really incredible technology in your hands, but it's actually pretty easy to use, and there's no risk of gluing yourself together.
Exactly. I feel like it's fairly idiot-proof, although I did test the idiocy because I don't like reading instructions. I don't know about you, but I think I've got, you know, a problem with instructions. And so I did initially not read the instructions. And so I didn't realize you had to shave before, because that seems counterintuitive, right? Because you think, hang on, I'm moving there. Why should I shave it? And so on my first session, I didn't shave it. And then obviously I didn't quite see the results that I should have done. And then someone went, oh, no, you do need to actually shave your legs first. So but I mean, that is very clearly written in the instructions. It's only total idiots like me that don't do that. And it is honestly pretty idiot proof.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because even though you've got this 92% hair reduction in just 3 treatments, so that's treating it every 2 weeks, you would think that it's the only form of hair reduction where you have to actually do something to the hair first. If you think about it, like everything else, you just deal with the hair that you can see, whereas this, you have to shave it first, which is why I think it can be so easy to think, well, I just zap the hair, being, you know, sort of a colloquialism, as opposed to actually, no, you cut the hair down, because actually you're not treating the visible hair in the way that you are with every other treatment. You're putting the follicle to sleep. preventing the regrowth.
You want that bit of hair to be as short as possible, because otherwise the kind of the intense pulse light gets lost. I'm doing the this kind of swirly whirly thing to like show how long my leg hairs are, basically. If you've got super long leg hairs like me, or other hairs, which shall remain nameless, basically you lose all the energy in like them dealing with the hair, don't you? You want to get it as close to the skin as possible so it goes right down to the follicle.
Yeah, it's like a fuse is how I always think is the easiest way of describing it.
You're so clever.
But okay, so we've talked about another disaster I had, having a bikini wax. So this was strip wax, and the therapist, you know, ripped the wax off, the strip off, but it slipped out of her hands and it stuck to the ceiling.
Was there an awkward silence or did you laugh?
The thing is that I started laughing and instinctively wanted to help her. So I immediately sort of put my legs together and went to help her. And she was like, no. And so then I did sort of slightly glue myself together. So after we had retrieved it from the ceiling using a coat hanger, she then had to use the sort of alcohol thing to sort of get the treatment going again. But
actually, can I just tell you, that's just reminded me of this story, and then I should stop telling my stories. But when I lived in a flat with all my girlfriends, one of them was the waxer, right? So we had something terrible. We had a sunbed in the house. We had everything. Anyway, so there was this hideous pot of wax that was always on the stove. And then she would use like bits of denim, like cut up jeans, to like basically give us all bikini waxes. It was absolutely horrific. Like, we were all 21, 22. The place was awful. And I went to this Cartier ball, okay, in a borrowed dress, borrowed everything. And the woman from Cartier came round to pick up the necklace that I borrowed. And she sat on our disgusting sofa. And when she stood up, she had a bit of denim with loads of pubes stuck onto her arm. I was like, okay, now we need to move and we need to stop this waxing and disgustingness. I had to honestly distract her and just whip it off before she left.
Oh my, can you imagine if the woman from Cartier had gone back to Cartier HQ with a pube denim?
Denim patch on her ass.
That's innovation. I mean, we can talk about the IPL device, but innovation of using denim as a wax strip.
So we need the IPLs in our life, basically.
Yeah. So we've talked about all of the sort of things that can go wrong, and how when you try and do these things by yourself, especially when you're dealing with something hot and waxy and sticky, like, I mean, disaster is afoot, or there is potential. But actually, so with this, you've got curved attachments. So it doesn't matter which area of your body or face that you are treating, the attachment is actually designed to work with that particular area. So you've got body, face, bikini and underarms. And have you found that actually you really notice how you can get a precision that you just can't get?
Yeah, I did try some of the early iterations of this, you know, and yeah, I feel like that's a real move forward, actually, because it's true. You know, if you are doing your bikini line, if you are doing your face, it's a very different, they're very different areas, aren't they? And to get that kind of, you know, quite often you can't get, it won't work unless it has skin contact with it. So if you've got a bigger area, then actually if you're sort of like trying to get it onto your undercarriage, it just doesn't work in that way. So no, I think that's a massive move forward.
And I think actually one of the things that's really worth mentioning here as well, because we've talked about like the burns and what have you that people have had in their waxing disasters. I know it sounds like we're having a lot of fun, but actually this device has been formulated and created in conjunction with or co-developed with dermatologists. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the hair management, it's been created to be effective, gentle, long lasting, even on sensitive areas. Yep. So dermatologists have been involved so that the skin isn't put under unnecessary stress by treating the hair.
Yeah, 100%. And I consider myself someone with quite sensitive, fragile skin that you know goes really red and doesn't really like being interfered with. And this absolutely, you know, this is absolutely fine, I have to say, on mine. And it's interesting. I have a kind of blind faith in Philips, because actually everything that I've ever used has been really good. So it's almost like I just kind of, they have a trustworthiness to me and they've never let me down. So I don't see any reason why I should question that.
I think that's such a good point, actually, because as you say, there have been quite a few iterations of the Lumea, and now and every time they bring out a new one, I think, how can they improve on it anymore? Yeah. Because it was already really good. And then they do something like they change the attachment just so it makes it slightly easier to use, or so clever. So
very clever. Very clever.
So have you downloaded the app, by the way? Because that's proven to be really, really helpful for me.
Well, Emma, that would involve me reading some instructions. So tell me what the app does.
Okay, so basically the app, which is really smart, it allows you to set up a reminder.
Yeah.
So, I've had lovely Lee Pryecroft in this series. So talking about habits, because actually it's this incredible device with this insanely advanced technology in the palm of your hands, which I will never get over that. But yeah, actually the thing that will make it work is the habitual use.
Okay.
You've got everything you need.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got everything that you need, but the other component part is making sure that you use it on this 2-week interval. And so the app has the reminders, but also what's really handy, because I'm a bit like you, I don't normally read the instructions, and particularly because I'm an arrogant person from the beauty industry who's been doing this for a while. I'm like, I know how this works. I don't need you to tell me. But actually, I've been using the app, and it tells you how certain areas will are better if you use like a side stamp, if you use it lengthways, or if you use the device a certain way round, or a hard to reach here, it might be good to do it this way, and how many flashes you might anticipate, you know, you put in your height and then your leg length. And yeah, and it's like this, your leg should be about 22 flashes then, if you're doing it properly, just because obviously you've got to do a little, you've got to move the device every time to make sure that you're treating the whole area, which I just think is so clever. It really holds your hand basically, Rosie.
Brilliant. But I mean, I guess just for people listening, and I guess for myself, the app's presumably very clever in telling you when to do it, because you need to hit it at certain stages of the growth cycle, right?
Exactly.
Which again is what I think some people might not understand. We have to go totally back to basics on this sometimes. I think as beauty editors, we think that everyone knows that, but ultimately you have to sort of zap that hair follicle in the right growing stage, don't you? Which is only every so often.
Yeah, exactly, because there's the 4 stages and you want it when it's all connected. And so that's why sometimes it can get on a cycle. You know that if you go and have any kind of hair management at a therapist, you'll wait until all the hair's kind of at the same length, or it's at its most, if you like, because that way you know that you're going to be treating all the hair roughly at around the same time. And the thing with the Lumea is obviously you have a little bit more control over that, but using it at those intervals means that you're, as you say, you're capturing it, you're treating it at just the right time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to download the app now. I hope it's very easy.
Yes, no, you must. I know you don't like instructions, but I think, don't see these as instructions. See this as a friend helping you along, okay, and getting the best out of your technology. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me. What a pleasure it has been to chat to you. And thank you for sharing your embarrassing hair removal stories.
Always, always happy to share my embarrassing stories.
You know, the really, really sad thing about this is that we won't have any more embarrassing hair removal stories to talk about in the future, because we won't have any because we're using Lumea.
I know. Yeah. I mean, but we can live vicariously through other people, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Absolutely. Oh, how brilliant. Well, it has been so lovely to chat to you.
Always a joy. Listeners, the links to Rosie, but also the Lumea, and also all of the information that you might need to know about the Lumea in terms of how it might work for you, will be in the show notes. But Rosie Green, thanks for coming back.
Total pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found that conversation useful in steering you towards the choices that will empower you. The links from everything we discussed will be in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. The links to the Philips Lumea will also be in the show notes, and it's where you can find any further information about the device, how to use it, and payment options. If you'd like to carry on the conversation, you can email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram, where I'm @EmmaGunns. Or if you'd like to discuss choices around hair removal with thousands of your fellow listeners, then click the link in the show notes to join the Facebook forum. You have to answer a couple of questions and agree to the forum rules, but once you're in, you can join one of the many conversations going on right now within that lovely community. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next one.